Amen. I would ask you today to remember me preaching tonight in Chatteris at the AOG, the End Life Church there. That's at 6:30, that starts. I'd ask you to pray that the Lord will bless. Had a really good time last month when I went across. Just shared and ministered as the Lord led us. And they've asked me back today. And just a reminder for those of us that it affects that we are at the Chestnuts this afternoon at 3 o'clock. So again, you can pray for that. That the Lord will be a blessing and an anointing to those dozen or 18 or whatever many people that gather in that room in the Chestnuts residential home. So let's just pray and then we'll come straight to the Word of God this morning. Heavenly Father, we just give you thanks and praise for this opportunity we have once again of just opening the pages of your precious word. And Lord, we just ask you this morning that you just, Lord, give us hearts, Lord, that would receive, Lord, your word today. Father, Lord, give us understanding, Lord, and enlightenment. Lord, as your spirit just, Lord, anoints, Lord, the word that is spoken this morning. So, Father, we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may recall that I've been sharing just over these last few weeks a little bit about the blessing of Eden. And I want to just continue a little bit in that this morning. But one thing I think you're seeing as you look at life in Eden, or as you know, we said a few weeks ago, life in heaven, whichever way you want to look at it, you know, both of them are God's plan for his people. One was his original creation, what God originally intended for you and me, which is the Garden of Eden. And the other is what God is preparing for us, which is, again, his perfect plan for you and me, which is heaven. But if you look at both those places, you'll see there's one central theme that runs right through them both. And indeed, I'll go on to say that you'll see this theme running right throughout the scriptures. And that is fellowship with God. In Eden, we see that God came down in the cool of the day, the scripture says in Genesis 3 verse 8. So that God came down in the cool of the day, walking in the garden. Now he wasn't there just to, so that I'm God, the Almighty. You know, he came down there for a purpose, and that was communion and fellowship with his creation. And I don't believe that that was the only occasion that God came down just to, on the occasion where their sin was found out, that they'd sinned and had been disobedient to his command. But I believe that ever since man had been created, God fellowshiped with him on a personal level. You know, it's just that one occasion in the scriptures where we read that he came down and walked in the cool of the garden in the evening, and Adam and his wife, it says in Genesis 3:8, had hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees. You know, certainly in heaven, that's what we're going when we get to heaven. It's all about fellowship with God. God will be there. Somebody said the greatest thing about heaven isn't so much that the streets are paved with gold, or that, as Revelation teaches us, that there's no more death, there's no more sickness, there's no more disease, there's no more tears. The greatest thing about heaven is that Jesus is going to be there. You know, somebody once said this, heaven is where Jesus is. And I think they were talking about, you know, having heaven every day and as part of their daily life because Jesus is inside. But the thing about Eden, the thing about heaven is that God had fellowship with his people. And that relationship that God has, we often refer to, or is often referred to as God's presence. We say that God is present with his people. Adam knew what it was to be in the presence of the Lord. And that's the thing that runs right through the scriptures, that God is with his people. Remember, just a few weeks ago we celebrated Christmas, and that celebration was the fact that God came down and dwelt with men. In John's Gospel, in John 1 verse 14, it tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Those two words there, among us. God with us. His name is Emmanuel, Isaiah tells us, and Matthew repeats that. His name is Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is with us. God's presence is with us. We have God living within. When we make Jesus our Lord and our Savior, God himself by his Spirit came and lived in our innermost being, our hearts. And as I said, this theme runs right through the scriptures, from Genesis through to Revelation. You'll see that God is with his people. And I want to just look at one instance this morning found in the book of Genesis chapter 39. There's a few other scriptures I want to look at as well this morning. But I'll try and keep it brief. And so we get not so much all the packing that we preachers tend to put in, but we get what God is saying to us. The bones, if you like. The real word. In Genesis 39, I won't take time to read the chapter, but I just want to read the first five verses this morning. When you get home, just read through the chapter and you'll know the story very well anyway. Chapter 39, Genesis 39, verse 1 says this. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. Now listen to this statement. It says in verse 2, it says, the Lord was with Joseph. That's a key statement in this chapter. Actually, it's a key statement in the whole of the scriptures where we're talking about the blessing of God. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Twice in those few verses there, we see that statement, the Lord was with him, or the Lord was with Joseph. God's presence was with this man. This was a man that knew fellowship and relationship with God. He knew what it was to be in the presence of God, and he had gone from a young age. Remember when he was young, he came to his brothers and said that the Lord had shown him these dreams and these things that he'd had, and God had spoken with him. Joseph grew up knowing what it was to be in the presence of God. And the Lord was with him. And verse 2 says, and because God was with him, Joseph was successful in all his dealings in the house of Potiphar. Verse 3 says that even his master saw that God was with him. He saw that he had a relationship and a fellowship with God. And he also saw that everything Joseph did prospered. In fact, verse 5, it says that the Egyptian's house was blessed because Joseph was there. And it wasn't the fact that Joseph was there. It was that God was with Joseph. And the blessing of God was working in Joseph and on Joseph. And everything Joseph touched, everything Joseph did was blessed of God, because he had that, he knew the presence of God. He had that relationship with God, that fellowship with God. And this verse 5 connects God's presence with the blessing. Because God was with him, the blessing of the Lord was upon him and upon all that he did. If you go to the end of the chapter, to verse 21, or from verse 19 really, you know what happened in this chapter? You know how Potiphar's wife looked longingly upon Joseph, and she desired him, and she wanted him to sin and to commit adultery with him. And then an occasion occurred in the house where they were alone in the house, and she grabbed him, she grabbed his coat, he ran out and left. And then she made false allegations about him, that he'd slept with her, he came and tried to rape her and do all these things. And eventually Joseph found himself in prison on false allegations. It says in verse 19, it says, when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. But then listen to verse 27, was it 21, it says this, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So even in the midst of difficult circumstances, trumped up charges, false allegations, wrong imprisonment, when Joseph was, as my dear brother Calvin once preached, when life dealt Joseph a lemon, Joseph turned it into lemonade. He made it good, because God was with him. You know, that makes the difference. You know, the presence of God was with him, and that presence of God produced favor and prosperity in Joseph's life. Notice it says he found favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. You know, the prison keeper, the prison warder, you know, put under Joseph's authority all the other prisoners that were in there. Today we call him a trustee, or a trusted prisoner. You know, he was one that was given rights and privileges. And that was because God was with him. The Lord was with him. You know, the presence of God went with Joseph wherever he went. I don't want to take too long in the life of Joseph this morning, but after he'd been forgotten and left in prison for quite a while, 2 years he was in prison. Chapter 41 verse 1 tells us that he'd been there for 2 years, and 2 years later he'd been forgotten about. 2 years he'd been working in that prison. 2 years the Lord was with him still. Until one day when Pharaoh had a dream, and he shared this dream with all those of his court. And there was a man in his court who was, he was chief butler to Pharaoh. And this man suddenly dawned on him. He realized, I was in prison 2 years ago. And there was a man in that prison. His name was Joseph. And I had a dream, and a friend of mine, Baker, Chief Baker, he had a dream as well. We dreamed dreams, and this man, Joseph, interpreted the dreams, and I promised that I would remember him, but I've forgotten him, and now Pharaoh, this man, will interpret your dream. You know, even after that, all that time, still the Lord was with him. God's presence was in him. The blessing then elevated him and promoted him to second in command, prime minister over the land of Egypt. And if you read through chapter 41, you'll see Verse 14 says that Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon, and he shaved, changed his clothing, and he came to Pharaoh. Then in verse 37, it says that the advice was good that Joseph had given Pharaoh. He had interpreted the dream and told him what he felt from God that Pharaoh should do, in about storing the crops for the next 7 years while there's a good harvest, and then when the 7 years of bad harvest come, there'll be plenty in the barns to feed the nation. And it says that the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to him, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? You know, is there any other person in the whole of the land who knows the presence of God like this man Joseph? Who has a relationship with Almighty God quite like this man? There's none. And then he says, this Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. Now that might have been a man promoting this young man now, this great noble man, this great king, promoted Joseph up to the place of prime minister. But really it was because God was with him. You know, God's presence was with him. You know, and you see that all through the scriptures. I don't want to take too long this morning, but let's just want to turn back a couple of chapters to chapter 26. I want to read one verse there, which is verse 24. And it says this. This is... in the life of Isaac. The Lord appeared to Isaac the same night and said, I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake. So there, God tells Isaac that he's going to be with him and he's going to bless him. In Genesis 31. So here's the last verse of 30 and the first few verses of 31. The last verse of chapter 30 says this. It says, talking about Isaac again, it says, thus the man became exceedingly prosperous and had large flocks, female and male servants, and camels and donkeys. Now Jacob heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob has taken away all that was our father's, and from what was our father's, he has acquired all this wealth. And then in verse 5 it says this, Jacob speaks to his wife Rachel, and Leah, his wife's there. He says, look, he says, your father's countenance has changed towards me. It's not no longer favorable as it was before. And he says these words, he says, but the God of my father has been with me. God has been with me and has blessed me. You know, God has been with me. You know, the presence of God blessed Isaac. In the book of Judges, chapter 1, we read these words in verse 19. It says, the Lord was with Judah, and they drove out the mountaineers, but they could not drive out the inhabitants of the lowland because they had chariots of iron. You know, God was with Judah, and he went into battle against those in the land, and he drove out those who lived in the mountains. In verse 22 it says, the house of Joseph also went up against Bethel, and the Lord was with them. You know, God was with them, blessing them, you know, leading them, you know, causing them to be victorious. I like what it says about the young boy Samuel in 1 Samuel chapter 3. just a few scriptures I want to quickly go through this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 19. It says that Samuel grew and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground. Would you like to be like Samuel? That when you speak, that God upholds every word you say. Doesn't let one word fall to the ground, idle or ineffective. But God was with him, and that's what he did for Samuel. A few chapters on, in chapter 18, 1 Samuel 18, we read of David. And in 1 Samuel 18, verse 12, it says that Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him. You know, and what happens? The presence of God had left Saul, the king, and now was with David. You know, because God was with him, because the Lord was with him, Saul was afraid of David. And it goes on in verse 14, it says, and David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. There's something precious about God's presence. There's something that is a release in the presence of God of the blessing. Just one more scripture, 2 Kings chapter 18. In verse 7 it says this. This is Hoshea. I'm in the wrong. 2 Kings 18 verse 7. Yeah, Hoshea. He says, the Lord was with him. This is verse 7. 2 Kings 18, 7. The Lord was with him. He prospered wherever he went. And he rebelled against the king of Assyria and did not serve him. He subdued the Philistines as far as Gaza and his territory, from watchtower to fortified city. See, God was with him, and God caused him to excel and be a blessing, be victorious. You know what? I think we just see from those few verses, and there's many others in the scriptures, that you cannot have the blessing without God's presence. You know, he is the blesser. There's a lot of people talking about the blessings. They talk about material prosperity. They talk about healing. They talk about some spiritual gift that they're seeking God for. Or something else that's tangible, you know, financial things to meet their needs. And they talk about that as the blessing. That's not the blessing, that's blessings. They're the results of the blessing. That's what the blessing produces. We mustn't confuse blessings with the blessing. These tangible blessings are only results and benefits of what the blessing does. Now we're talking about the fullness of the blessing. In this message this morning, I'm talking about the preciousness of God's presence. Because it's God's presence. That's what we need to seek. The presence of God. Not the blessings. Now I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm not saying not to pray and ask God to meet a need or to heal a sickness. I'm not saying that's not, but we mustn't just seek that and seek the one that actually gives the healing. The one that gives the financial blessing. The one that gives the spiritual gift. The one that's able to save the soul. That's the one we seek. We seek the blesser, not the blessings. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6 in his Sermon on the Mount. Everything God is and God ever has been is wrapped up in Jesus. So remember that at Christmas. You know, Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead, Colossians tells us. And in him there is completeness. In him there's the blessing. You know, Jesus said this in his sermon. He said, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Did you hear what he said? He says, do not worry about what we shall eat, what we shall drink, or what we shall wear. For after all these things the Gentiles seek. They're seeking those things. What we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear. But he says, you must know this. One, that your Heavenly Father knows you need those things. So then he says, well, I want you to seek him first and his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all those things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the presence of God. Seek to have that fellowship and that relationship with God first and foremost. Make that your priority. Because out of that fellowship, out of that relationship, will flow the fullness of the blessing. Yes, you'll get the blessings, you'll get the needs met, but they come as a result of the blessing. And the blessing comes from the blesser. So seek God first. Seek his presence. His presence is precious. There's something special about the presence of God. You know, there's a scripture in the book of Exodus, I believe it's Exodus 33, somewhere around there. And it talks about Moses went out to the mountain. He went out up the mountain to talk with God. And it talks about in that chapter a young man whose name is Joshua. And it says something of Joshua. And this is a scripture I read many years ago. It says about Joshua that he stayed in the tabernacle. He remained in it. When everybody else went out, when everybody else left, when Moses went up the mountain to meet God, when everybody else went back to their tents, back to their homes, back to their food, Joshua stayed in the presence of God. And that presence elevated him to become leader over God's people after Moses had died. It was that presence of God that, you know, caused Joshua to arise and be elevated, caused a blessing to work in his life, and he led God's people into the promised land. He took his inheritance. There were other things involved, you know, Joshua's faith and, you know, Joshua's stand for God. It says he remained in God's presence. And that would be my encouragement to you this morning, to us as a church, that we stay in the presence of God. We seek God's presence first and foremost. And everything else that we need, all our concerns, our worries, the things that, you know, very often at the front of our minds, you know, what we're going to eat, what we're going to drink, what we're going to wear, how we're going to meet the rent and the mortgage, how we're going to do this, do that, do whatever. All those things will fall into place after. But seek God first. Seek his kingdom first. You know, God's presence is so precious. We can't live without it. We need it. It's what God originally intended for us and what he's preparing for us. So let's not, in between, say we don't need it. You know, we need God's presence. It's precious. The preciousness of God's presence, you know, causes the blessing to come in all its fullness. Amen.